election and what have you. And I shared briefly last Sunday, and I know people can be discouraged because of some of the results. There's good results too. How about that Proposition 8 passing? Amen. In California, and you know as well as I do that there is not only a military war going on with our nation, but there's also a cultural war that is going on and going on very strongly. But you know, one thing I just want to share with you, no matter what, we have done what we know to do, and we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to seek God. We need to continue to vote when the opportunities come to vote, and then we leave it in God's hands because God sees the big picture. Amen? Amen. We know that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And, you know, I just come with great expectancy. You know, I know that I did what I was supposed to do, and therefore, we just trust God and put it in His hands. Amen. And you know, the church, as I said last Sunday briefly, the church has always flourished when there was opposition. And so we're going to flourish. The church is going to get stronger. The church overall, the kingdom of God is going to get stronger. Amen. Amen. Persecution may be on the increase, but how many of you know that where there's persecution, there is spreading the gospel. There's always strength that happens whenever there's resistance. If you ever lifted weights, you know that the more resistance, the more strength you gain. Isn't that right? And you know what? The church has always rise to the occasion by the power of God. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And so no matter what, the gates of hell will not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to encourage you today. So as I was praying to see what the Lord would have me share with you today, I want to talk to you about some things that are going to encourage you tremendously. If you would open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, that's where we're going to begin. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's pray before we read. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank You for the Word of God today. And Father God, we thank You that Your Word is alive. Your Word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Father God, I thank You that Your Holy Spirit is our teacher. We pray that You would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You and open up the eyes of our understanding to the Word of God today. I come against any discouragement and any depression, anything that might be attacking minds this morning that would hinder them from receiving the Word of God. I thank You, Father God, that we are victorious through Christ, that we are more than conquerors and we are overcomers by faith. And Father, I thank You that the word planted today and sown today is going to reap great benefit in all of our lives, Father God, and that nothing is going to hinder the word of God from going forth or from being received on the good ground of our hearts today. We thank You for it and give You praise for it in the mighty and majestic name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read beginning with verse 3 if you don't mind. Actually, verse 2 we'll start with. Verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." You'll notice that it says in this that God's divine power has, how many of you know has is in the past tense? It says His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if you'd look up on the big screen, let's see how this is read in the Amplified Bible, if you don't mind. I know it looks long, but that's all right. Let's see what it says. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full personal, precise and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence, virtue. So notice what it says in this. It says that there is freedom from fears and agitating passions. How many of you know there's a lot of fear in the world today? But you and I have access to freedom from fear, do we not? And that freedom from fear comes by what? By coming into a more full and personal knowledge of Him. And along with that is this idea that His divine power, and we must never forget, that God's divine power has already bestowed upon us everything we need for life and for godliness, for our natural life and for our spiritual life. Through Christ, everything has been provided. Amen? Would you agree with me that all things means all things? Nothing left out, right? And so as I was pondering this and seeing what God would have me share, the title, if you like titles, the title of this is this, that God's people are blessed. And no matter what's going on out there around us, God's people are blessed. The Word of God says so. You may be thinking, I don't feel blessed. But the Word of God says that His divine power has already been bestowed upon you so that you might have everything in the full, to the full, that pertains to life and godliness. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that His people are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. And I think that when things are going on around us in this world, it becomes so tempting to forget who we are, what God has made us, what belongs to us. And I need to remind you, we need to remind ourselves in the midst of all that goes on, who God says we are and what He says we have. Amen? And as far as what He says we have everything we need. You've got everything you need. You've got the goods. Say, I've got the goods. Everything is provided through Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything is provided through Jesus Christ. I've got great news. God's people are blessed. Amen. All right, now, what does the word blessing mean? Let's look at the next one. What does the word blessing mean? We're going to use a lot of PowerPoint today. I encourage you to take notes. There's a place on your bulletin to do so. What does the word blessing mean? Let's go to the next frame. The word blessing, when having to do with God blessing people, because there is the meaning of blessing, meaning that we are exalting God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now, we don't bestow anything upon God other than our praise and our love. Isn't that right? But yet, in regard to God blessing people, it means that word blessing, it means that He is the blesser who gives the capacity for living a full and rich life. That's what being blessed is about. God giving us the capacity to live a full and a rich life. You know, I was talking, or actually a pastor, I heard him say to a group of us a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, he said that last time things didn't go the way he thought they should go in an election, he said he was depressed for 4 days. You know, maybe some of you are depressed and been depressed for whatever days it's been. I don't know. But I want to say to you this. I want to say to you that God has given you everything you need to have a capacity for a full and rich life, no matter who's in Washington, D.C. Amen? So let's keep our focus on the fact that you and I, yes, we're citizens of the United States, but did you know more so you're a citizen of heaven? In Philippians, the second chapter, it says that we are citizens of heaven. And we need to stay focused on our citizenry, if you will, of heaven and all that that involves. Because as citizens of heaven, we have certain rights and privileges that only the citizens have. Amen? Amen. And so, the capacity, because God is the blesser, for living a full and rich life. Next frame. To bless in the Old Testament means to endue. Get this now. This is a fantastic definition. To bless in the Old Testament means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fecundity, longevity, etc. And so, success, prosperity, it really has the idea of an abundant supply. That's what blessed means. And God has given to you and me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Next one. So to be blessed means God endues with power for an abundant life. God endues. Endues means to be clothed with, to be given, to be bestowed with. And so God endues with power for an abundant life. God endues with power for an effective life. And God endues with power for success. He not only wants us to have an abundant life, He wants us to have a successful and an effective life, doesn't He? And you know, again, it doesn't matter what goes on around us. In spite of what goes on in this world, His plan is that we be clothed with the capacity and come out with an abundant, effective, and successful life. Amen? It's not contingent upon anything else other than faith and the promises of God. That's all is needed in order to tap into what God has for us. Amen? And so you know what? No matter who the president is, I'm blessed. How about you? No matter who is in the Congress, I'm blessed. How about you? No matter what goes on with the economy, I'm blessed and I'm successful and I'm prosperous. How about you? Amen? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And we need to put our faith in the Bible, in the Word of God. Thank God we've got to think about those folks that are out in that world that don't have this foundation and this sure word to stand on. Amen. Thank God we do. Amen? Amen. We shouldn't be depressed about a thing. And if we do get depressed, it's because we haven't spent enough time in the book and in communion with Him. And we all need to spend more time in it, don't we? We all need to be reminded of the fact that we are blessed. Let's go to the next frame. In the New Testament, that was referring to the Old Testament, the Hebrew primarily. In the New Testament, which is completely from the Greek, it says when referring to God blessing people, it means to benefit, to be generously given to give supreme happiness. When God blesses people, He grants them favor and confers happiness upon them. Do you know that's the will of God? Now, to look at some Christians, you think that the will of God was to just be a sourpuss and just be miserable all the time. But you know, God's desire is for us to be happy. Amen. I know there's differences between being happy and being joyful, but how many of you know the joy of the Lord is in you? God's put it in you. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit in you gives you joy. You've got joy whether your face looks like it or not. Amen. It's down there. It's an ingredient of a recreated, born-again spirit. Joy is one of those ingredients. But you know what? You ought to just express it with happiness because you've got a relationship with Almighty God. Now you say, but you know, I suffer with all these different things and whatever, and I understand that. I understand people have battles. I understand that people have things to come up against. I understand that everybody gets attacked with discouragement, depression, everything else if they're not careful. But the good news is we don't have to stay there. We can rise up above it and we can count all joy, as James says, when we fall into those trials, and knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the joy and the expression of it will bring us out of that pit of depression and discouragement every time. Amen? Amen. And you know, a lot of times you just got to stir it up. You got to remind yourself, just like David did so often. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Sometimes you got to just tell your soul you're going to bless God. You're going to worship Him and praise Him in spite of how you feel. Isn't that right? Amen. Everybody doing all right today? I just want to encourage you today that we are in a different place as far as, you know, what goes on out there. Praise God. We can pray. We can intercede. But in so many ways, the Bible says, as many of you are well aware, that we are foreigners. King James says pilgrims in this world. Isn't that right? And how about you? But have you ever just kind of looked at what's going out there and you feel like an outsider looking in? I feel that way. I feel like I'm just an observer. I don't feel like I'm a part of what's going out there. I just feel like I'm an observer, like I'm a foreigner. I'm from another place. How about you? Jesus said, "You're in this world, but you're not of this world." I'm from another world. Some people thought that anyway, but I'm from another world. Amen. Everybody all right? Yeah. Isn't that what the Bible tells us, though? That we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen. And so, you know, that tells us that if we'll allow ourselves to just glean from the Word of God and our communion with Him, then we can not be in the position the world is in as far as the stress and the concern. We can rise above that in the name of Jesus. And you know one of the beautiful things about it? Coming together as fellow believers helps us because iron sharpens iron, doesn't it? And God meant it to be that way. God meant for us to come together with other believers so that we can build each other up, encourage each other, strengthen one another, because we're stronger together than what we could ever be alone. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Are you doing all right? All right. Let's go on from here and let's see what else we have in store for us as we look at some of this. Amen. The blessings of the Lord already belong to us. As you can see on the big screen, the blessings of the Lord already belong to us. And we're not going to turn there, but I encourage you to write down Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. If you look on the big screen, we'll see how it says it in the Amplified Bible. It says, "May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah." Who has, everybody say has. It's already done, isn't it? According to the Word of God, it's past tense. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, notice how it's defined in the Amplified, given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm. And so it says that we have already, through Jesus Christ, been blessed with every Holy Ghost given blessing. A Holy Spirit given blessing. We have already been blessed by it. All right, now, going on with this, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Let's look at the next frame. Notice, and I'm using the Amplified a lot today. Forgive me for it, but it's just as good. I like the way it states it. We don't always do it that way, but that's all right. Notice Romans 8, 31 and 32, Amplified says it this way. "What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Say, "God's for me." The Bible says that. It's not stating it as a question like we should question it. It's stating it as a fact. Since God is for us, who can be against us is how that's stated. And so, who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, he gave us his best, didn't he? He gave us his best, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him up for us all. Will he not also with him, key words, with him, say with him. Will he not also with him freely, where is it? I lost my spot, please. Freely with him, freely and graciously give us all other things. The point being this, that in Christ, everything else we need is provided. Everything else we need for our physical life, for our spiritual life, which is ultimately the most important, for our soulish life, our mental, our emotional life, everything we need, physically, materially, everything is found in Jesus Christ. If he gave us his son, will he not freely and graciously give us every other thing in him, right? In him is where those things are found. All right, let's go on from here. Let's go to the next frame. It says this in Romans 8:17, and if we are his children, and we are, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Notice, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. All right, now notice now the point being this, that in Christ, we are heirs of Christ. Notice that phrase, sharing his inheritance with him. And that is the meaning of being an heir or a joint heir with Jesus Christ. See, God sees you and I as being in Christ, doesn't he? He is the head, we are the body. What God confers on Christ, he confers on the body. You can't separate the head from the body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so we are joint heirs or equal heirs, sharing in Christ's inheritance because we are joined together with him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right? And so, again, can there be anything that is lacking? Can there be anything that we're not able to be provided for? No, because it's all found in Christ. Amen? I pray you're getting something from this. I pray the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and help us see this like never before. I pray that we would be enlightened to this and it would become a reality to us so that we go away from here today, not just having heard the same old, but something was ignited in our spirit and a revelation came to our mind about how God has provided for us everything we need in life. And so we should never be in despair. Amen. 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 Go with me, if you don't mind, to Galatians chapter 3. Are you doing all right? Everybody's patient today? Oh, we're making good time. We're making good time. I'm going to take off my coat. Hallelujah. Is it warm in here, or is it just me? It's just me? I run warm, don't I? Amen. I got up this morning. I get up early on Sundays. This morning, I slept in a little bit. I didn't get up till 5. Usually, it's 4 on Sunday mornings. But, you know, I didn't turn the heat up. But, you know, lo and behold, I wake other people up, my son and my daughter and wife, you know, because initially they were going to come. And they're cold. I say, you got to be kidding me. You're cold. I think it was 65 degrees. 60, and cold. Man, you know, I tell them, you know, you're just a bunch of sissies. I don't know what's, but anyway, no. Oh, we have fun. They don't know what to do with me, even yet, but we have fun. Galatians chapter 3. There's so many things in the book of Galatians. I'll tell you, I love this epistle of Paul to the Galatians. Remember that Galatians was written not to a church, but it was written to a province. Galatia was a province, much like the state of New York or the province of Ontario or Quebec. And so Galatia was not a city. It was a province with many cities in it. And most of those cities and most of the inhabitants of that province of Galatia were not Jewish people. They were Gentile or non-Jewish people. That's important for us to understand some of the things that are said in the book of Galatians. How many of you know to understand what's said often in the scripture? You need to know who initially heard what was said, because that helps us to realize other things. And I think that you'll understand that as we read some things here in Galatians chapter 3. Notice, beginning with verse 6 of Galatians 3. Now, we'll try to make this make sense, even though we're not reading the entire epistle in its context. But notice verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Some of you know that you and I too are made righteous or in right standing. Righteousness basically meaning right standing with God. We were made right with God. How? By faith in what Jesus Christ did. Amen? Not by works which we have done, but by faith in the grace of God which came through Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so notice now. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Some people think that if you're born a natural Jew that you're a son of Abraham. How many of you know Abraham was not a Jew? Did you know that? Abraham wasn't a Jew. In fact, Abraham wasn't even, Abraham was born a Gentile, wasn't he? He came out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was a moon worshiper probably because that's what the people of the Ur of the Chaldees was. They were moon worshipers. They were heathen, to the nth degree they were heathen. And so Abraham was a Gentile who became a Hebrew being drawn out of that land of Ur of the Chaldees into a land that God would show him because he had a revelation of God. And so Abraham became the first Hebrew, but down the line came Judah, which became or how we came up with the name Jew. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so Abraham is a picture of every believer, a Gentile who through faith becomes right with God and by faith in Christ, and he had the gospel preached to him, we'll read in a couple of minutes, God shared the plan of redemption with Abraham. And by putting faith in that plan, Abraham also was declared righteous. And so he became a Hebrew or a covenant man by faith in a revelation of the Messiah who was to come. You and I are made covenant men and women by putting faith in a Messiah who already has come. Amen? Gentiles drawn out. And now we are those that are circumcised in heart. We are those that are not Jews outwardly, but we are Jews inwardly. Unless, of course, a person's a natural Jew. The most important thing is that they become circumcised of heart as well by accepting Christ. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, so going on with this now. Let's read a little bit more. Just as Abraham believed God, verse 6, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, just replace for your sake of understanding, Gentile is non-Jew. It says justify or make right, that means as well, the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. So Abraham had heard the gospel, didn't he? Saying, notice now, this is part of what God said, in you all the nations shall be blessed. And it says in another place, in your seed shall all the nations be blessed. And that seed, of course, is Jesus Christ. And through faith in Jesus Christ, everyone from every nation who puts faith in Christ is blessed or saved. Amen? Isn't it interesting to know that here it says blessed instead of saved? Why? Because we see and understand that to be saved means you are blessed. We're talking about God's people are blessed. Why? Because God's people are saved, and with salvation comes every other blessing that we need in life. Are you hearing me? All right? And so notice now, in you all the nations shall be blessed, so then those who are of faith are blessed. Say blessed. That means to be endued with the power to succeed, endued with the power to have an abundant life, endued with the power to have an effective life. All those things and more. You have been blessed with believing Abraham if you too will believe. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Of course, cursing is the opposite of blessing. Let's save time. Go down to verse 13. Christ has, that's past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law. That means you and me. Say us means me. Christ has, past tense, redeemed us. When you redeem something, that means that you trade it in for something else, right? You redeem your cans or bottles, you trade it in, and you get money in exchange. Christ has exchanged for us. He became unholy as far as taking our sin so that we might be holy. He took our unholiness. He didn't become unholy himself, but he took yours and my unholiness that we might be holy. He took yours and my unrighteousness that we might be righteous. The great exchange, right? He bought us back. He bought us back. Amen? He redeemed us to buy us back. Christ has bought us back, let's say, or out of the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, the non-Jews in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the blessing singular is the blessing, basically, of righteousness, salvation, all of that. But again, remembering that in that is everything else, right? Does everybody understand? I don't question your ability to understand sometimes. I question my ability to articulate it so that you can. I'm not questioning your ability. I'm questioning mine. So I hope that you're getting this, all right? Now, going on with this now. It says this, that the, again, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, non-Jews in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Christ is the seed of Abraham, right? He's the seed of Abraham. He's that one that he said that in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so Christ is the seed of Abraham. And it goes on and it mentions several different things about that. But let's skip this part so that we can come to where we want to go. You can read in the context yourself. But notice now, as it goes on in verse 26, skip all the way to verse 26. Notice he hasn't changed his thought. Not that the verses in between aren't good. They are, but you don't want to be here till 4 o'clock tonight or this evening. Notice verse 26, for you are all. Now remember, he's speaking to non-Jewish believers primarily. That includes you and me, most of us. There's Jewish believers as well as non-Jewish. Most of us are probably from the Gentile side. And so he says, for you are all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. How did he say it before? He said that only those who are of faith are really the sons of Abraham, right? Now he says that you are the sons of God. Through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ or immersed. That's not talking about water baptism. It talks about what water baptism represents. And that's being placed into or immersed into Christ after having received Him as Lord and Savior. As many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's no ethnic division anymore. Doesn't matter what our ethnicity is anymore. Amen? Doesn't matter whether we're Jewish, Italian, and all the Italians said hallelujah. German, French, whatever the case may be, ethnicity doesn't matter anymore. Amen? He says there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. Your social status doesn't make any difference. It's for every social status there is. This salvation, this freedom, this becoming a child, son, daughter of God. Isn't that right? For every social status. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. It doesn't make any difference. It's for male and female, like no gender difference. So we have no ethnic difference, no social difference, no gender difference. It doesn't make any difference. It's for everybody who will believe. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 29, notice it says, and if you are Christ or belong to Christ. How many of you belong to Christ today? You do if you've accepted Him, made Him Lord. If you are Christ or belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so we become Abraham's seed because we have been joined. We've come into Christ who is the seed. So in Christ, we're the seed as well. And so therefore, we share in Christ's inheritance. And therefore, the covenant is good. And then we are blessed as believing Abraham. And we are blessed with the blessings of Christ, are we not? Say, God's people are blessed. And see, so God sees you and I as being in Christ. And the Scripture says repeatedly in different ways, you in Christ, Christ in you. Isn't that right? How many of you know Christ lives in you? You live in Christ. There's been a joining together. Does that mean God doesn't know you as an individual? No, He knows every single one of your names. He knows every hair you've lost as well as what you still have left. Amen? And so, Bill, I wasn't talking about you. You took it like I was... But you know, He knows us all personally, but yet we are found in Christ. And so in terms of the inheritance, in terms of the rights and promises of God, in terms of the blessings, we have them because of what Christ has done. Therefore, we can't try to earn them. We can never earn them or work hard enough. They're too great a thing to gain. We just receive them by putting faith in Christ because in Him, every other thing is ours. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you're being encouraged by this so far. Praise God. I'll tell you what. I studied myself happy and I'm preaching myself happy right now. Amen. All right. Let's just look real quickly and then we're going to close this. But look up on the big screen. First of all, some of the blessings the Word of God promises. Just some of them. We could never have time to talk about all the blessings. First of all, spiritual blessings. Go to the first one. Here we go. Forgiveness. How many of you know forgiveness means. Do you know what forgiveness means? Sometimes we have this idea, we know. I don't know, maybe you do. But forgiveness literally means to be set free, to be delivered. Amen. To be acquitted in the courts of God, to be pardoned. When you're pardoned, that means you're set free. If you were in prison and the governor decided he's going to pardon you, then you have been set free. Amen. And so that's a spiritual blessing, that you have been spiritually set free from the power of sin and the power of Satan. They have no more control or no more leeway in your life. Amen? Amen? That's not all, folks, though. It might have sounded like Porky Pig, but that's not all, folks. All right? And so forgiveness means what? It means pardon. It means to be delivered, set free. Liberty could be included with that. Notice the next spiritual blessing. Holiness, Ephesians 1:4. In fact, would you go to Ephesians chapter 1? And we can see many of these in this. And there's other places as well. These are only some of the blessings. But you'll notice here it says, and we read verse 3, or we mentioned verse 3 and saw it up on the big screen. But notice verse 3. I'm not giving you a sermonette because we don't want Christianettes, right? Ephesians is right after Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, again, we read it from the big screen on the Amplified. Notice it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us. Say, I'm chosen. These are all spiritual blessings. I don't even have them all to come up on the board. But He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Here we have holiness. He chose you, picked you out to be holy. Holy means be set apart for His use. Amen. You've been set apart. You stand out from the crowd because Christ has chosen you. You stand out. Amen. All right. That's what God's ordained for you. It says, notice the next thing, without blame, which I think is next. Which, without blame? You know, without blame is an interesting word. In the original, it means to be without blemish, to be faultless, to be spotless. Isn't it good news that in Christ, because He chose you, because you're in Him, isn't it good news to know that you are without blemish in God's sight? That you are faultless and without blame. Isn't that good news? You are spotless in the sight of God. Spiritually speaking, God has washed you. We've been washed by His blood. Amen. Say, I'm washed. I'm washed. Do you have anything worth rejoicing about there? You remember, I've said it many times, I share it with you again, how Jesus said after the 70 had come back from casting out demons and healing the sick, how they rejoiced and all of that. And what did Jesus say to them in Luke chapter 10? He said, do not rejoice because the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? And why is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because you're spotless and without blemish and you're pure and holy in His sight. Amen. Because of His grace. Amen? Because of His grace. Praise God for all of that. I'm just trying to tell you, God's people are blessed. God's people are blessed. Look at the next one. Number 4 is adoption. That adoption, that word doesn't mean the same as it does today. That word adoption in the Bible has to do with being placed in as sons in terms of, instead of being a child. I can't go into all the detail of it, but in the Roman tradition or custom, a child was not an heir of the kingdom or an heir of the inheritance until they reached a certain age. Then they went through a process or a ceremony, which is called the toga virilis, which means the clothing, being clothed with maturity. And they go through a ceremony, and then they become sons instead of just children. And at that ceremony, they now were receptors of the inheritance in that Roman culture. And when it says that we've been adopted as sons, it doesn't mean that we're not born into the family, because the Bible says you've been born again. There's a birthing that took place. You were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Did you get that? But you've been born into the family, haven't you? Amen. So adoption does not mean you haven't been born in the family. It just means you, in Christ, you have become mature sons in that the inheritance is now yours. And so thank God the inheritance is ours. Number 5. You'll notice the next one. Number 5, acceptance. That word acceptance, notice there in Ephesians 1, I love this. Notice verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Aren't you glad you've been accepted? Aren't you glad that there's a remedy for a sense of being rejected? A lot of people are suffering from rejection and problems about rejection. But I'll tell you the thing that will set people free from any kind of rejection type of mentality or rejection type of bondage. What will set you free is to know that the God of the universe, the one who is perfect in every way, more perfect than anybody that might have rejected you, that God has accepted you when you came to Christ. You're accepted pure and clean in His sight. That'll set people free from any kind of rejection problems they may suffer from. Amen? God's people are blessed. Let's go through these quickly now. Soulish blessings we see from the Word of God. First one, we can see that there is peace. Thank God for peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "Thou shalt keep him," or "you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." As our mind is stayed on God, if you've been suffering from a lack of peace, if you've been worried, if you've been concerned about what's going on or whatever in your life or in the world, if you've been concerned about it, you haven't had your mind stayed on the right thing. Isaiah 26:3 proves that. Philippians 4, verse 7, of course, it goes prior to that as well. In verses 6 through 8, really, it says this. It says, don't be anxious for anything. Most of you know this, but I'm going to give it to you again because there's power in the speaking of the Word of God as it gets into our hearts and our minds afresh. Amen? He says, God says, say God says, be anxious for nothing. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. Don't have anxiety. Don't have worry about anything. Don't have anxiety about your health, about your future. Don't have anxiety about the economy. Don't worry about our government or where our nation's headed. He says, be anxious for nothing, and nothing means nothing, right? You know, I know a lot of our mothers, you know, at times, you know, they think if they're not worrying, they're not being a good mother. I beg to differ. Amen? Be anxious for nothing, it says in verse 6 of Philippians 4. But in everything, here's the remedy. Instead of being anxious, what is it? It says, but pray. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, it says, be praying with thanksgiving. And then it says, the peace of God that passes all understanding, beyond our comprehension, will keep guard over our hearts and minds. Amen? And then in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on, meditate on, focus your mind on those things. And the peace of God, or the God of peace, will be with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so peace, soulish blessings. Number two, we see the word wisdom. We know that there is wisdom for the believer. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, just ask in faith, and He'll give it to you liberally, generously, and abundant of wisdom. He doesn't want to hold back any wisdom. If you need wisdom for life, there's wisdom available. Proverbs 2:6 and 7 says, He's laid up sound wisdom for the righteous, and in Christ you're righteous. So you can say in faith, there is sound wisdom laid up for me. Amen? Next one, we talk about spiritual blessings, some of them. Soulish blessings. How about some physical blessings? Notice protection, Psalm 18, 1-3. He's our shelter and our refuge. Psalm 91, most of us know Psalm 91, at least familiar with it. It says, He that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, amen, and dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It talks about over and over again that the angel of the Lord will lift him up, raise him up, lest he dash his foot against a stone. With long life, he'll be satisfied. This is just a synopsis of what Psalm 91 is, but it's for those that have set their love upon God. There's the promise of protection. Amen? I'll tell you, you know, I think about my son, and many of you are aware, but not all of you, you know. I'll tell you, God's protection was there with him because we could have lost him this past summer. And you know, I saw him get hit by that car. That's why I let him sit down, because that leg is still not perfect, but thank God it's on recovery. He's still got those rods in there, and they're coming out soon. We're going to hang them on the wall. We're going to put them up there like a trophy, amen? A testimony of the power of God and the protection of God. But every day, we quote the Word of God. We quote Psalm 34 and verse 6, still do. We especially do now. We quote it and we say that the angel of the Lord is encamped round about Jake and Megan and all of us because we fear God. We have a reverential respect for God. The angel of the Lord is encamped round about us. Amen? There's protection. People say, well, why did he get hit? Hey, you know, praise God. He got hit and a miracle took place. He went flying through the air, landed, could have died, but just broke his leg. Hallelujah. Amen? I choose to look at the blessing of God. The cup's half full, not half empty. Amen? Hallelujah. We can stand on these promises, and we need to. Now, number two, physical blessings. Strength is available to us. I won't go into that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. You know the scripture. I encourage you to read it again and apply it to yourself. Number three, we know that health and healing is provided for in the redemption work of Christ. He not only died for your sin, but within that, the effects of sin. There was no sickness or disease in the world until man fell into sin. And so in taking care of sin, He also, by His stripes, bore the penalty of sickness so that as we put faith in Him, there's still healing and health for us today. Amen? You say, if that's so, why am I sick? Well, you also been freed from sin. Have you sinned? Oh, praise God. I think we're still... What it does is it gives us the power and it gives us the knowledge that we can fight it. We can fight sin and we can fight sickness in the same way in Jesus' name. Amen? We may get attacked and tempted to sin, and we may get attacked and tempted to get sick, but we fight it by speaking the Word of God and standing on the promises of God. Amen? Amen. Thank God that gives us the right to not just lie down and let it have its way in our bodies, but we can fight it in Jesus' name. And then, praise God. Let's go to the next frame. Those are physical blessings, financial, material blessings as well. Finances, we know Malachi 3:10 talks about bringing the tithes into the storehouse, etc. And that God will rebuke the devourer for His sake and all those things. Then Proverbs 10 and verse 22, it says it this way, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it. Amen. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it. And I'm going to end. Well, let's go to the next one. And then it says the work of our hands. Deuteronomy 28:12 promises those that are seeking God that God will bless the work of our hands. How many of you know you can't believe God for the blessing financially, materially, unless we're willing to work, right? Amen. And so He'll bless the work of our hands. I'm going to close with these verses. I've got more to share. We may share it next week, and we'll couple it together with the idea of giving thanks. You know, we're approaching the Thanksgiving holiday. For us, every day should be Thanksgiving. But in a special way, we draw our attention to Thanksgiving and the giving of thanks and why we are so grateful for what God has done. I think even talking about these blessings ought to just be a reminder of how thankful we should be of what God has done. I'll tell you, I'm especially thankful this year because of my son is still with me. Amen. And I'll always be grateful and never, never go aside from that. But let's look at some closing scriptures. I'd like the worship team to come. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I'm going to read on, but remember, it says, forget not. Don't forget the benefits or the blessings of the Lord. It says, forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of you know those are promises for every one of us today? Somebody said, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, how much more then is it a promise for new covenant believers? Because Hebrews 8:6 says that He's given us a better covenant with even better promises. Amen? And so this is a promise for you. These are promises for you and me. And then finally, the last verse of Scripture, and we'll stand and we'll pray. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Amen. Amen. Say, God's people are blessed, and I'm one of His. I'm in Christ, and in Christ are all the blessings of life and godliness. And so I'll not be discouraged. I'll not be dismayed. I'll not be anxious, because the peace of God is mine, and I am the blessed of the Lord. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah.